Life Notes with Sheldon, where we talk about ways to get off the sidelines and back into the game of life as your best you.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining me on Life Notes with Sheldon, where we talk about ways to get you off the sidelines and back into the game of life as your best self. Today, I have Paul Mitchell on with me again, the wonderful Paul, and we are talking about continuing from last week about this concept of how the fact we're all on this hellacious highway, and sometimes it's a freeway, and it's polluted, and it's busy, and it's crazy the way life can be, and so many times we're just wanting to stay in this lane of traffic when we need to take this off-ramp and get off of the craziness to be able to connect, to be able to grow, to be able to have meaningful experiences and relationships. And just prior to this, Paul and I were talking about how it seems we don't have to look very far for people that are just struggling, that are really battling to just get through life. It seems like, you know, a common thread that he's hearing, he's a church leader, community leader, businessman, is that, man, they just feel like they're being attacked from all sides. There's just so much stress, so much chaos going on in their lives. Paul, tell me more about that.
I like that, how you started this out, you know, to get off the sidelines. And when we're attacked, the natural reaction is to stop and hibernate and go to the couch, go to the home, just get away from everyone. And that's, you're sidelining yourself. You're sitting on the bench and not participating. And I'm finding through friends, through employees, through people's homes, through interacting with church members and community members that life is just hitting people really hard, whether it's emotionally, whether it's through children, through their children's schooling, the bullying, could be lack of connection between a husband and wife and possible infidelity, and just life is just attacking the family unit, the individual, and isolating them, putting them on the sideline. And I was asking Sheldon, I was asking you how do we deal with that? We were talking about how men sometimes don't have friends, women have more friends to discuss things. Is communication the key? I'm not sure how to get off the sidelines. How do we do that?
Well, it doesn't help that we're in an election year. Any election year is crazy, yeah. No matter what. It's just, you know, everything is a little bit weird in an election year.
He had to go there. It's always, look at that.
There's probably never been a more divisive one than this. I mean, I've never seen people so... I mean, we talked about how sometimes people are deleted from Facebook because of something they posted that was, say, considered far right or considered far left or considered even, heaven forbid, something in the middle. You know, there's no middle ground right now in the United States, it seems like. It seems like if, you know, both sides are so polarized, so determined, and not going into politics or saying right or wrong, but it creates this tension that you can just feel. And in places you wouldn't normally feel it. I mean, from the church to the bar, to everything in between, you say the wrong words about a candidate, you could be looking at a fight, Old West style, people drawing guns. You know, it's just wild out there. So, you know, and we don't have to look far to find families that, I mean, I cannot believe how many people I know who are not talking to their brother or to their sister or to their child, like no communication, want nothing to do with them. They're so mad that they've foregone that relationship for who knows how long, maybe life in some situations. It's astounding to me. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, it's that same divisiveness. And, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And in addition, if there's a God, there must be a devil or Satan. And I think the adversary has developed a tool of that divisiveness to isolate you from relationships. And we talked about last week how relationships are really what brings happiness. And if the adversary can help us or make us become divisive, I think I remember Jesus saying that contention is not of him. Contention is not his doctrine. I think how much contention is in society today or in our families or between mom and dad and kids, and whether it's about playing in a sport or a band or a club or about what they're doing for dinner tonight, the contention. How do we deal with that?
Well, I think first we consider the possibility that we're all being played. Yeah. Whether it's on the spiritual side or political side or corporate side or all these things, there's all these forces in our life that I think want us to be divided because it gives them power. You know, the phrase, united we stand, divided we fall. It's not just a catchy phrase. It's in your own life, in your family. I mean, look at your family unit. if you guys are united, at least in common basic principles and ideas, you're going to be able to get through most storms. It's going to be messy and it's going to be ugly, and you may lose some friendship for some time. It may be bad. I mean, what kind of family? I mean, I think it's really interesting that almost all the major religious accounts start out the very beginning talking about a dysfunctional family. You know, right. I think there's something there saying that, you know, it's normal, it's basic. You know, there's a novel I read in college that was called Things Fall Apart, about Okonkwo, a great village chief who had everything, women, concubines, all of the things that a king could possibly have in this land. And it talked about how, you know, bit by bit, it just all fell apart to where he was nothing with nothing, you know, and we forget that, you know, life has a way of atrophying, just like muscles. You know, things fall apart if we're not building them up. And so if we don't have a certain degree of unity in our relationship, in our family, or at least core principles to which we can adhere, it's falling apart, and it's going to. And so I think in our nation right now, you know, where is America going? What is our vision right now? I don't know what it is. I can't tell you what it is. I mean, I think there was a time, you know, for instance, maybe or maybe not, but we know that major cities in the United States are running out of water, like to the point that 5-6 years, it's going to be a huge deal. I mean, like, we may not have Dallas. I mean, it's to that point if things don't change. Well, I can't help but think that the World War II generation would have had like an aqueduct from the Great Lakes by now. I mean, they would have been planning for this, and they would have had things in place. You know, there was this thinking ahead. There was this thinking about building. There was this thinking about growing. And there was something of a common vision in America of where we want to go. You know, I think that maybe the Cold War was good for us in some ways because we had this purpose. We had this common enemy. We had this common, you know, fight against communism, against fascism. We had this idea of who we wanted to be. And right now, I think we have completely, largely lost that. It feels like we're just running, careening through, you know, where what's our goal? What are we building? You know, we're building skyrise apartment complexes in cities that don't benefit anyone in the long run, you know, when we could be building infrastructure, we should be building our school systems, we should be looking forward to the problems that are right on the horizon and not waiting for them to slam into us, but preparing to not just avoid them, but face those obstacles, prepare for them. And I feel like, you know, I read a book, really interesting concept in a book that I didn't expect it to be in. And he said that religious leaders, civil leaders, government leaders, historians, scientists, they all are kind of unified in agreeing that sometime towards the late 60s, early 70s, we just became adrift culturally, economically, so many ways as a nation. And he says, we're just kind of adrift. We don't have this trajectory we had. And his theory on it, and other theologians have posited this, and I find it brilliant because it makes so much sense. He says, the problem is that somewhere in the late 60s, we reached this point where we had everything in the United States, our grocery systems, our delivery systems, cars had air conditioning, the mirrors heated, you know, we had so many things and it worked so seamlessly. And he said, I guess you could say we reached utopia. And then he says, the problem with reaching utopia is you don't have anything to look forward to tomorrow. And so I'm wondering, did we reach that utopia where we just forgot looking forward to things tomorrow? I mean, because what are we looking forward to? Can you define to me, can you give me an idea of a nation? What are we looking forward to? What are we going towards?
Literally, as a nation, we don't really have a purpose, do we? I mean, there was a time where we had the space race. We're trying to get to space. There was a time after the World War, my dad was a World War II vet, where we needed to be the military power, you know, as a nation to control the world. There was a time, you know, that sure, the family was the family unit in society, in the American society. So I guess I think that could, you know, translate over to an individual. I mean, if I think about my wife and I, we've been married 35 years, and the first thing, because I grew up in a broken home, my parents separated when I was 8. My goal was to always have a family forever, you know, and that was my thing. I was never going to leave my wife, and that was part of it. And is that the reason why our society is falling apart? Our family unit or our smaller community units don't have a vision or don't have a common goal that they're working for? Why are people sidelined?
Well, there was a time in the United States, in the world really, in history, where a marriage was a covenant, and now it's a contract. you know, and contracts are broken all the time. You have an attorney, you can get around any contract, and you pay more for the attorney, you win in the United States in so many ways. And so many of our things, you know, a man's handshake used to be all he needed. You hear that phrase, those things, those Americana, the way things used to be. Now, there was corruption, and there's been evil, and there's been all of these things. You know, sometimes we think, oh my gosh, it's so bad today, but we don't realize if we went to 1920, we'd probably be appalled at some of the things we saw in the streets and society. It's just not flooding into our homes as much. So that evil, that corruption, that turmoil, it's always existed, and in every time. And, you know, fortune doesn't really favor anyone. You know, we have fortune for a while, but we forget how fleeting that can be in our own lives.
Right.
We can be experiencing, you know, health one day, and I mean, we have our teeth shoved in our brain the next day in an auto wreck. You know, life is chance in so many ways. So many things can happen. And sometimes we operate that good fortune is just always going to be there. And we don't have that. So it's important that every day we try and make our lives and those around us as fortunate as we can be. We don't do things to bring chaos into our lives. We don't do things to bring destruction into our relationships, because these things are already, you know, we're feeling these pressures on us. So we have to ask ourselves, what can we be doing to bring these things upon ourselves? Or what can we be doing to worsen the effects of them on ourselves? You know, I something that probably the one phrase in scripture, not to get religious on this show, you know, it's not the purpose of the show, but there's something that was so impactful for me, probably maybe more than anything else. And it's when Christ tells the apostles that one of you are going to betray me. And some of them say, Lord, is it I? And the problem, I think, largely with society today is nobody wants to admit it's their fault. No one wants to take that responsibility. You know, we want to put the blame on, why are our kids failing? Well, it's the school system. Why are our homes failing? Well, it's the internet. Why is our town failing? It's the economy. You know, it's just a blame game. It's a giant blame game. Everywhere you interact, somebody's blaming for something. You know, why are you mad today? Well, some jerk cut me off. It's like, no, we forget that there's choice and accountability. And part of living in this free country is that we get to choose.
I can see you in an argument with your wife, and then you're going to ask, is it I? But that's totally you, but that's not me. I'm too proud. But I think you're right. I think that humility to be able to introspect, look into your own soul and say, am I the problem? That's not really something that we're taught how to do. How do you actually put that into work, into relationships with kids, family, bosses, you know, whoever we're dealing with each day?
Well, I think that first we realize that in every situation, every argument, every fight, everything we can possibly get in, we share some of the fault. You know, I mean, in our nation, you know, it's not everyone else's fault. If we have something that's invading us, or a force, or even a country, we can't put ourselves fully as the victim. We have to ask ourselves, what did we not do to defend ourselves? Or how did we let our walls down? How did we let our standards down? And, you know, as a business owner, as a family, particularly as a dad, if there's problems in my home, if there's contention in my home, if nobody's going to take responsibility for it, there's no way to solve it. And that's with any given problem that you have in your business. You know, you're getting quality concerns. Well, who's taking responsibility? Who's taking ownership? And if no one takes ownership, you can't do anything about it.
Is that old saying, if the fish stinks, the head stinks first, right?
Yes, the fish stinks from the head. Chinese proverb. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, and as we talk about the chaos, how does a man do that? I mean, literally, I think women have a built-in relationship networking thing going on where they can talk to one another about this kind of stuff. But we as men, that's not usual for us to be able to bounce ideas like this. This is way too personal. How do you do that? I don't know. You do it. You do really good. Sheldon checks on me often and makes sure I'm on the right track, and I'm grateful for your friendship for doing that. I don't know how you got so good at it, but I'm glad that you do it.
Well, you know, I think it's just forgetting that, you know, we're all in the same ocean. We're not all in the same boat. But just because I may be on a mega yacht doesn't mean that I'm not going to be in the canoe in 3 days. And I think sometimes we fail to see that. You know, we've let these ideas of race, of location, of do we live on the hill or down in the valley? Where do we live? We let all these divisions pop up. And
that's that divisiveness you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
And that's self-imposed, kind of, or the adversary imposes it. You're right.
So, you know, and then asking ourselves in these situations where we feel like everything is spinning out of control and the earth is careening through space, kind of seems like out of control, yet it's in this perfect, you know, order. There's a lot of things spinning out of control at any given time. And I think sometimes where we start to feel like we are totally out of control is when we try and focus on the things that we can't control. And part of the problem is we have people from age 12 to 89, 95, 103 in this United States who are constantly tuning in to the media, to the news, and everything is like this urgent thing that's going on. You know, it's hyped up. And since 9/11, before then, you know, it's like now everything I see on the news on any given channel is like urgent, breaking, you know, it's this red siren light. And when you wake up in the morning to that, you're popping in your flight or fright mechanism. You know, you're setting yourself up for a stressful day. So what are we tuning into from the beginning of the day? What are we tuning ourselves into at any given time? And I think we have to take, you know, in the midst of a storm, say you're in a hurricane, right? You're in a hurricane. And if you're fully focused on the fact that there's this storm coming in the ocean and you're pretty much screwed, and that's what you're focusing on, you're not going to be focusing on, can I run to the hotel that's 10 stories high and get safety? Can I get evacuated to where the Red Cross is? You're not focusing on it. You're focusing on what's coming at you. And so what you have to do, I think, is key through meditation, prayer, any way that you possibly can, is find a way to get into the eye of the storm where you can actually think, where you can actually take some form of action. You know, if we can't take action or not taking action, we're at the whim of every force and we start to feel out of control and we feel useless. We feel impotent. We feel like we can't make a difference. But what can we control in the situation? You know, my wife is mad at me. She's not speaking. Well, what can I do? Maybe I can take some time and make my yard better. You know what I mean? Instead of focusing, this is not happening. My life is over. This is this. What can we do to take action? What can we control?
You know, I think as we take that kind of unbiased look at things, you know, I served as a church leader. And as such, I used to think I was wise. You know, I wanted to share my wisdom with people as they come to talk to me as a church leader. I realized they didn't want to listen to me pretty quick because they didn't listen to me when I gave it wonderful advice, I thought. But what they really wanted, I started to figure, is they wanted to be heard. They wanted just to talk to someone. And as I started just to listen and not really give any advice, they'd walk out of my church office like the world was lifted off their shoulders. And I think men in general, I think we need somewhere to go to do that. I think you need to find a friend to be accountable to and just to talk to. That sounds crazy, and that really doesn't ever happen. I'm grateful I have you. I have a few other people that are just like you, and I'm grateful for that. But I don't even know how you do that. But if you guys are out there listening, you men and women, I mean, people just want to be heard. If you find Sheldon or I out in public, just pull us aside for a minute and we'll listen, you know. But I think, I think people have, since they want to go achieve something, I think they just need help being heard every so often. And when people are heard, they're much happier, just that someone knows what they're going through.
So I tried to listen to you right then and not formulate my response. So you were heard. And I so believe that and want to attest to that. It's that human nature of recognition. You know, from the very beginning, if a child doesn't get recognition from its mother and it receives more criticism, it's going to have, I mean, the chances are it's probably going to be a criminal, have a rough life, a really rough future ahead of it. You know, the first thing a child does is try to get its mother's attention.
Yeah.
It pines for that. And, you know, we're not different from children. Our biological spiritual component is very ingrained from the very beginning. And we're all the same. You know what I mean? We all die little kids. You know, we go back to that baby state, you know, when we leave this life. And so I think everyone wants to be recognized and they want to have that recognition of realizing, I see you. I hear you.
Our spouses want that in an argument, right?
I used to think they just wanted me to fix it. I got a solution. Why don't you do this? You know, why haven't you done this?
No. Our kids are the same. They just want to be heard.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would couple it up with, you know, you are a wise person more than you think. People may not want your advice. They may not want the step that you take. But if we can listen to someone, and then when we're done actually listening to them, if we can challenge them to come up with a step of something they can do to take action, where it's derived from them, it's self-derived, it's something like, you know what, I can do that, then not only do we listen and let them, you know, release some of that, but we leave them empowered with some hope of something they can do. Not saying, you know, you need to do this, or I did this and it helped me, you know, ask, what is something you think you can do that will help this, or what is something? And then challenge them and follow up and try and help keep them accountable. You know what I mean? Next time you see them, hey, how's that going? Oh, you haven't done it? Well, maybe next week, you know, that follow-up. Sometimes we forget, you know, we can have someone just dump on us how hard their life is, and we take it for a second, but we forget that follow-up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that follow-up is what says, I heard you, I understand you, I care about you, and because I do, I want to know how it's going. And man, a follow-up call after something like that can mean the world to someone.
It actually means more than that initial visit, because you remember. You remembered what they said. And that you followed up. It's a huge thing. So you're right. I think you're exactly right, that follow-up. So, but I like your entry. You know, how do we get off the sidelines? And, you know, a lot of times we sideline ourselves, and I'm grateful for this discussion.
Me too. Me too. I appreciate it. So, friends, if you're out there, people need to be heard. They need to be understood. They need to have that recognition of basically being human, you know, recognizing. And I think men are particularly generally bad at it. We're bad at supporting each other. We're bad at reaching out to each other because we're taught that you need to be macho. You know, the World War II generate, whatever it was, you know, it was like, hide your feelings. You're a man. You're not supposed to have feelings. Be tough. Well, so many years of that has created men who don't know how to express their feelings, who don't feel safe to express their feelings. And that's been perpetuating a problem that we have. But if we can't hear others as a nation, you know, there's not much hope for getting that common vision. Because if we can't hear where someone's coming to, maybe if we really heard the other side, we could understand, share something that might help them form an idea that we can both agree on at time in some ways. But if we can't hear, we can't understand. And if we can't understand, we can't go forward.
Sometimes I get a text from you or someone else saying, hey, this is a brother check-in. You know, how you doing? And it used to be kind of weird if you did it man-to-man, voice-to-voice, you know, person-to-person. It's a little bit easier and not so scary to do it over a text. Mm-hmm. And I love when I get a text from you or someone like that doing a Russ Hatch, he owns Subway and Costa Vida, you know, he does that sometimes to me. He'll send me a text, hey, how you doing? Just checking in. And those kind of things, just, that makes my day. That makes my week. Someone checked, Russ Hatch checked on me, Sheldon Pickering, you know. So it can be not as scary. If you guys, if you have a friend who you know is going through a hard time, just send them a text, I think. I think that is going to change people's lives.
So friends, guy or girl, if you're driving, don't do it yet. We don't accept any liability. Pull over, take the off-ramp off the freeway. This week, send a text to somebody, make a call, drop by and visit someone. Just check on someone, let them be heard. It'll make a difference for them, and it'll make a difference for you. That's Life Notes with Sheldon and Paul today. Thanks for joining us, and be sure and tune in next week here on 1390 AM, 92.1 FM, or on our podcast, or maybe you're listening online, wherever you're listening. Thanks for tuning in, and we love you, we appreciate you, and we hear you.
You have been listening to Life Notes with Sheldon. Listen every week for a brand new note on life. We hope that we have given you a way to get off the sidelines and back into the game of life as your best you.